Good morning, everybody in London and Johannesburg. Welcome to our annual results presentation. Is everyone hooked up? Joburg? Okay. I think the past year we focused largely on the execution of our strategy. As you would be aware, about 18 months ago, we took some hard strategic decisions to reshape our specialist bank. And as a consequence, we said we're going to sell our Australian bank, our UK mortgage business and our Irish mortgage business. In addition, we also took the decision to sell our trust business. So all these transactions have been executed, and I think this is the start of the ability to really focus on building our specialist bank in the form that we want to. We also accelerated the rundown of our legacy portfolio in the UK. And so we're now focused on growing our core specialist bank and our core franchises within the specialist bank. And at the same time, we've continued to invest in building our asset management business and our wealth and investment business. I think before I'm going to concentrate in these results on the ongoing business as opposed to the legacy, but it's important that I just articulate what happened in the legacy business. So the statutory business really, we grew operating profit by 9.4%, and that's a growth on adjusted earnings per share of 4% to 39.4, and our dividend we increased by 5% to 20p from 19p for the year. I think there was an effect of the strategic disposals, and we've broken it down on the slide for you. We made a profit on sale before goodwill and taxation of 25 million quid, but there was a deconsolidation effect on portfolios relating to the sale assets, which was 53 million pounds. There was goodwill that we had a write-off of 64, so we never recovered our goodwill. And there was a tax expense which relates mainly to the gain on the sale of the business in Australia. So overall, there would have been an accounting charge of 113 million pounds, which would have affected the statutory results. If I now move on to the ongoing business, I think I would regard the operating environment that we've just come through as a favourable operating environment. Clearly, sterling was strong against, on average, against all currencies, and that would have had an effect on the reported earnings. But we had good equity markets across the board, and we had good levels of activity across the board. So it would be a favourable operating environment, and, you know, we come out of a period where the operating environment had been particularly tough, but we now do see some momentum, difference in different geographies, but still, it was favourable. So I think it's important to, again, just re-emphasise that our business model is diverse. Our geographic diversity, we a combination of developing world and developed world. At the moment, if we look at the ongoing business, UK and other, the rest of the world represents 40% of our operating profits, South Africa 60%. I think about 10 years ago it was sort of balanced, but obviously South Africa never went through a financial crisis. I think if we look at mix of business, again, wealth and our wealth and investment business combined with our asset management business just generate just under 40% of operating profit on an ongoing basis, with a specialist bank about 60%. If we look at our key earning drivers, you've seen good growth in third-party funds under management, both through our wealth and investment business and our asset management business. Now that now stands at 124.1 billion pounds, and we had very good inflows in both those businesses. If we look at our banking key drivers, we continue to build our customer accounts. At the same time, we saw very good growth in our loans and advances to customers if we stripped out our sales businesses and just concentrated on our core businesses, both in South Africa and the UK, where we've had a fair amount of lending activity. I think that did support growth in operating income. And we've seen, you know, again, I think operating income in the ongoing businesses grew by about 5.8%. Impairments continued their downward trend. Clearly, this graph shows both legacy and core. And I think it's important to note that it's down 61% since the peak in 2012. and the legacy we expect to continue to come down. Impairments on the core business are probably at quite a low sort of level. But we do expect that impairment number on legacy certainly to continue to come down as we run the legacy book out. If we look at our jaws, our fixed costs were marginally up. Operating income grew 5.5%. Operating costs grew 4.4%. And if you look at the various business units, you can see in asset management, we grew costs by 6.2%. That is to support a growing platform. Operating income up slightly less than that at 5.3%. But we are building capacity and building our capability in this business. And if you look at the wealth and investment business, our operating income grew faster than our operating costs, 8.7% versus 5.6%. And you see the overall operating margin has improved to 25%. So we're back to where we were before we bought Evolution. It took us a couple of years to integrate Evolution and get the excess cost out. We still have two businesses within the wealth business that are break even. That's our Irish wealth business and our Swiss business. But over time, we'll obviously hope to build scale in those businesses and generate a decent operating margin. And then the cost-to-income ratio in the specialist bank as ongoing businesses declined from 65 to 61 as revenue grew faster than costs. And there, in that business, our headcount was down 152 people. And that's mainly as a consequence of the sales and the reshaping. So that would result in what we would regard as a good performance for the overall specialist bank, I mean the overall group. 15% increase in operating profit, 10.2% increase in attributable earnings and in EPS. Shareholders' equity flat because of the sales and the exchange rate movements. And we saw good growth in ongoing customer deposits. And as I said, you very good growth in core loans and advances at 15.4%. For those of you in South Africa, if you look at the Rand earnings, operating profit would have been up 26.8%, adjusted earnings and EPS up 21.8%. So again, a very good result if you look at it in Rand terms. We have made progress on our financial targets. So if we look at the statutory, ROE went up from 10 to 10.6. But if you look at the ongoing business, ROE went up from 13.1 to 13.8%. And I think one still has to bear in mind one is in a zero inflation, zero interest rate environment in the developed world. Our cost to income, our EPS, as I mentioned, grew by 10%, which is probably above 10% above UK inflation. And our cost to income ratio is down to 66.5% from 67.5% on an ongoing basis. Clearly, this change in mix of the business over the last 5 years, where the higher cost to income ratio businesses like asset management and wealth management do have an effect on this ratio. But nevertheless, we still have a target of getting ourselves to below 65. And dividend cover was twice. Capital, we have a stable capital position. Obviously, the regulators have continued to increase capital requirements, which get phased in over many years. That's why we give you the fully loaded numbers, and we have a very good leverage ratio. So I think you have to look at capital and leverage together. You can't look at one or the other. You see many banks with very high core equity ratios, 18%, but then they've got a leverage ratio of 4. So you've got to look at these two together. So we're reasonably comfortable with our capital position. I think if we look at the individual businesses, asset management, remember this business, we started out in South Africa in the early 90s. We had 200 million rand that we had under management. Today we manage 77.5 billion pounds. The bigger portion of this business now exists in our global business as opposed to our South African business. So more than half our earnings are now coming out of our global business. And we had very strong inflows in our global business. So we had net inflows of about 3.1 billion pounds, which I think was a good achievement under circumstances. I think we had a record operating profit of 149 million pounds. So we believe that this business is in good shape. It's well diversified. It has a strong culture and excellent people. And we don't really look at ROE in this business. It's been built from scratch, so it's very high. But our operating margin has lived between 34 and 35% over many, many years. I think I mentioned net inflows. So we've maintained net inflows for quite a long period of time. Our average income as a percentage of funds under management is around about the 0.6%. And our operating margin, as I mentioned, has remained. It's, you know, depending on whether you get performance fees or not, this was a year in which we didn't have much by way of performance fees, remained at that 34 to 35% mark. I think the business gets good recognition globally for as a quality organization. And, you know, we're quite positive on the ability to grow and develop this business. If we look at our wealth and investment business, again, probably one of the star performers in our group in this particular period. We did benefit from higher average funds under management, so operating profit up 19.2%, operating margin now 25%, as I mentioned to you earlier, and funds under management from 40.8 to 46.1 billion pounds, that's up 13%. So overall, you know, a very good performance, very good net inflows of 2.7 billion pounds. I think the UK, we've now seen the operating margin go from 20.1 to 22.7. We do believe that there's still room for further improvement as we build scale in some of the businesses. And I think we have continued to benefit from investment in our platforms, and we've hired additional investment managers, which is working out well. Our RAND earnings were up just under 21%. I think we've successfully leveraging off our global investment platform. And we've also had strong benefit from the integrated approach towards private clients. We've launched a product called OnePlace, which integrates banking and investment management through one channel. And that has really started to work exceptionally well. So, again, operating margin, you can see March 2011, before we bought Evolution, it with the similar sort of number to where it is today, then it dropped off while we're integrating. You can see the positive net inflows over the last 3 years growing every year, and we've also had an improvement in margin as we've actually reorganized and integrated. If we look at the specialist bank, we had a very strong performance in the South African specialist bank, up 36.8% in rand terms, good performance all across the board. And notwithstanding the difficult environment in South Africa, I think there was quite good activity across both our corporate and private client business. We also have launched a number of new products in the private bank, broadening our client base and leveraging our global platform. I think it's very important for us as an organization to leverage the global platform and offer our private clients the ability to transact anywhere in the world. And I think that's something that we have successfully achieved, and for many, many years we've been seen as the leading private bank in South Africa. Again, our corporate businesses benefit from a more focused approach to servicing the corporate market, and we have very good traction in that space. In the UK, we've seen very good growth in corporate fees, notably in our corporate finance and corporate treasury teams. Our private bank has started enhancing its offering. We've launched a number of products for the high-end market and our professional high-income market, and we've developed our online and digital platforms. It's still early days, and a lot of work still will be done on that front. I think these results were impacted by poor returns earned on our Hong Kong investment portfolio in this particular period, which would have taken some of the shine off the results. But if you look, strong growth in loans, good growth in deposits, so there is positive momentum in this business. If you look at the mix of income, you can see good growth in net interest income off the back of strong growth in loans and advances. We've had a positive endowment with interest rates ticking up a bit in South Africa, and we've continued to get an improvement in the cost of funds in the UK. And if you look at fees and commissions, we were number one M&A advisor and sponsor both in deal flow and volume. And value in this year. It's the first time we've been number one in both. Normally we're number one in volume and number two or three in value, but this year we managed to be number one in both. In the UK we were number one in deal volume and number two in deal value in the mid-cap space. I think both strong achievements if we compare where we were a couple of years back. And then we see improve customer flow in the corporate market. And I've mentioned the fact that on investment income, that would have been lower this year than last year as a consequence of the poor performance of the Hong Kong portfolio. So again, we're seeing progress on the cost to income ratio, which is hopefully will continue to decline. You know, long term, we said we're below 50 in South Africa, but still in the 70s in the UK. Hopefully, overall, we can get ourselves to long term to about 55%. But that was a long term target, and it will take us some time to get there. We also need interest rates a bit higher to get there, but you know, that doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon. And then our credit loss ratio and our core loans, as I said earlier, very low, but clearly still, you know, elevated on the legacy stuff. So overall, you can see the very strong growth in core loans and advances. I think on the legacy, we made great progress. You know, a few years back, it was for the overall group was almost £7 billion. This excludes the legacy that we inherited when we bought Kensington. We've done strategic sales, as you're aware. We've had redemptions and settlements. We've obviously had write-offs. You can see £83 million. And that we've transferred a portion of the legacy back to the ongoing business because those loans have been remediated and they're now earning a reasonable return and the credit risk on them is very minimal. So we went through quite a detailed process to get to this point, and as a consequence, the legacy now is down to £729 million. There's a few hundred million pounds of that is non-performing. The rest is stuff that's performing but needs work. So we do believe that this loss that we incurred this year, you can see the breakdown. There was net loss, no net income. We still had expenses. Those expenses will come down quite dramatically in this particular year, and we do believe that the impairments will come down off the back of this charge, but we are looking for opportunities to accelerate dealing with this so that it is a thing of the past. But it will take us an expected 3 to 5 years to get it completely clear. If we look at our strategic priorities, I think we've always said we organically grow the asset management business. So we've never made acquisitions in this business. We built it from scratch, other than when we bought Guinness Flight in 1998, which gave us our original UK platform. I think we've had 8 consecutive years of positive net inflows, and we've got a record operating profit. I think the momentum in the business is positive and does remain strategically exposed to what goes on in emerging markets, so that would be regarded as a headwind. Our asset managers are cautious on the outlook for financial asset prices, but I think it's important for us to continue to maintain strong momentum and build our advisor business, and we need to restore positive flows into our positive momentum flow into our African business. I think we got a lot more money globally than we got in Africa. In fact, we lost a bit of money in Africa. So overall, you know, we continue to invest in the long term. I think if we look at our wealth and investment business, you know, we always try to broaden the internationalization of this business. We did originally build this business via acquisition and integration overlaid with organic growth over a long period of time. We are the largest wealth and investment business in South Africa, and we are a leading private client investment manager in the UK. So we have significant presence in Europe, and we're trying to grow and develop our brand internationally. Servicing our clients is fundamental to this business. We do believe now it is more an organic story than an acquisition story, as we have good momentum, and we're still looking to add stuff in different jurisdictions or look for opportunities to do that to leverage off our Swiss business and our platform in Guernsey and Ireland. So we also, a key priority, hopefully by the end of this year, calendar year, we'll launch our Investor Click and Investment service, which is an adjunct to our face-to-face service, and we believe we've built a very resilient business model with a high service ethic, and hopefully we can continue to grow and develop like you've seen over the past while. I think looking at the specialist bank, Our key focus over the last 2 years was to simplify and then grow. And I think that the strategic sales have simplified. It's much more simple business to run. And now it's a question of trying to drive growth. And you're seeing some of that come through in this year with strong growth in loans and advances. Now, obviously, that has to be managed, but clearly we are seeing very, very good demand from our client base. So what we have built, if we look at the South African business, we've been a leading private bank over many years. We've been a leading corporate advisory house over many years, a high-regarded corporate and institutional bank, and we've got a leading property business, which we built over many years. So overall, you know, we think that we're very well positioned, and we've had very strong growth in this particular year. As I, you know, it will be hard to sustain that kind of growth rate, 36%, and I don't think anyone would expect one to sustain that kind of growth rate, but it is a very good business, and that we've built a resilient business model. Our growth drive is organic across the spectrum of our products, and we're in a very good space with our clients. So we need to continue to perpetuate our position in the corporate and institutional market, and there's still the opportunity for growth in sub-Saharan Africa through our African platform, which is developing nicely. If we look at the UK, I think we're the 12th largest bank in the UK. We have a recognized brand, and we are rapidly growing our client base. We believe that we're in a favorable environment for good levels of activity, which we have seen over the last year. We hopefully will continue to support growth in growth momentum in our corporate and specialist businesses, and we are building traction in our private bank with the launch of a number of different products that position us quite well to actually grow and develop this business. So we continue to invest in infrastructure. There is an investment story taking place here, because we believe that medium term we can really have a strong positioning in that market if we're successful in rolling out our products and services. So we also, I think overall, trying to build out our client franchise businesses. And again, we are a business, a group that believes in relationships, that builds on relationships over many, many period years, and we believe that that works for us in the long term. And that's what we'll continue to focus on doing. So we also have always tried to build more capital-like business. Capital is very onerous. Particularly, you earn zero on your capital if you leave it in the bank, or in some countries, negative. So you have to build capital-like businesses, and that's something. If you look at this slide, you'll see that over many, many years, we've seen strong growth in our capital-like businesses. Obviously, we've been flat in net interest income and investment income. We have stripped out legacy here, so that obviously will change the picture slightly. But overall, you know, we do believe that capital light forms an important part of what we do. There is room for us to grow our capital-intensive businesses as we go forward. But we need to be mindful of the balance between the two. And then we continue to focus on rolling out our digital strategy. We've had we launched One Place in South Africa in this past year, and that has been very, very successful. And we've launched online banking and a whole host of products in the UK. And as I said, we're going to be launching Click and Invest in our wealth and investment business in the UK. We're already to launch it in South Africa. It's up and running and on trial. So overall, we'll continue to build on the digital digital channel alongside our physical channel or our telephonic channel. And we think that that works well for us as an organization. So for us, our priorities looking forward is that we need to focus on growth. We need to maintain momentum in the asset management business, focusing on investment performance, because that is about long-term performance. I mean, our asset managers use the word, they want to enable their clients, which are, at the end of the day, pensioners, to retire with dignity. We want to continue to build the wealth business both internationally and through the wealth and investment business, both internationally and through the digital channel, and we're seeking to grow our specialist banking businesses both in both our core markets, and we want to see continual progress on our digitization strategies. So that's really what we're trying to achieve now. It's not about reshaping, it's not about acquisitions, it's about growing the business organically. So if we come to the end of the story, we believe, in summary, we have successfully executed our strategic initiatives. I think we are a much simpler group for us to manage and to run, and now our focus is operational and growing and developing. And ultimately, hopefully, we'll achieve the right outcomes for our clients, our stakeholders, and acceptable returns to shareholders. I think if we look at this together with opportunities in our two principal markets, I think, you know, as we said, the UK, it looks like the economy is in a good space and there's a lot of activity. So the African economy is in a different space, but and there are, you know, there's intensified regulatory landscape, but, you know, these are things that are part of the game, and we have to deal with it and have to manage it, and but we are positive on our ability to take advantage of opportunities. So that's our story. Bernard once shouted at me for I didn't go too long, and I'm ready for questions. You're always first out the block, eh, James? Which one? You or Aaron first?
I'll pass to Aaron. Three of them, mate. Firstly, 15% growth in the bank is very good. Could you comment on the outlook for volumes in 16 and also the margin that you're achieving on flow assets versus stock assets? Do you want to do them one at a time or do you want to give them all?
There is momentum at the moment. So I don't know where life ends up. It depends on how the world feels about itself, but we have got good momentum both in this part of the world and down south on the banking side. I think, you know, margins have come in slightly, so there is always competitive pressure as people get their act together, but still, you know, reasonable. So we can still make a living. I don't know what your other question was. You're asking flow versus stock. So new, but you,
yeah, you've answered the margin you're getting on new loans that you're writing is slightly tighter than what you've already.
Yeah, but cost of money is also coming off.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, on balance we're okay.
So NIM broadly flat, is that the guidance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Secondly, on the asset management business, could you sort of comment on the sort of performance of funds over the last year and the outlook for flows? I mean, obviously, flows are pretty good in the year you've just passed.
Yeah, I think I can throw it to Hendrik because he's sitting here in the room, so I don't get gobbledygook you, but maybe, Hendrik, you want to answer that question? He's got a thing. Yeah, he's over here.
I can't see him. Where are you?
Get it from a horse's mouth.
I think the horses have to keep running, eh?
Exactly.
The outlook for flows probably quite similar to last year. It's always difficult when you budget. The sales guys get optimistic and they forget about the back door. And just remember, we are, if you compare us with our peer group, we are just over half emerging market business. So we avoided, if you look at Ashmore, Aberdeen kind of experience versus the Henderson experience, which was very positive as a developed market business, we're somewhere in the middle there. So I would not get excited either way, up or down from that target. That's reasonable. What we've achieved last year is probably what we hope to achieve. And who knows where markets are. If they get very rough, of course the flow is lower. Performance is good across the board and competitive. There are one or two areas, particular area in our select strategies in our African range have not done well enough last year, and those performances need to turn and will not deliver the kind of flows you require in the coming 12 months because you first have to turn the performance and become competitive. But I'm quite happy to say that that's underway. But generally, competitive performance able, particularly on the global equity side. In fact, our problem is the opposite. It's capacity constraints.
You keep that.
Finally, on the sort of click and invest, quite a competitive sort of market segment.
Sure.
What sort of what's your competitive advantage, and what sort of demographic are you targeting?
I mean everything's competitive. So, but you know we have the investment management franchise, so we have the skills to manage the money. we have a brand that is well known. We spent a lot of money in building the brand, so it's well known. And it's not only that channel, it's how you align that channel with the client service center, which is a very effective telephone relationship. If you have a problem, phone them and see how quick they sort out your problem with the physical. So it's alignment of the three together that is important. And yes, you're saying, well, there are a lot of very effective players out there. I think the fact is that we're coming at you with the ability for you to transact in which way you choose at any point of time. So it's high tech, high touch is our differentiation, as opposed to a single product thing where you're either high tech or high touch. And we have seen that work quite well for us in South Africa. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. Everything's competitive. Okay, Aaron now must come. Then I must go to South Africa.
Thank you. I had sort of two questions. One was, you're seeing quite a good loan growth in South Africa. In the UK, I was just wondering what are the products you're looking at selling? Is it largely going to be private bank to get the loan growth up? Because it's almost a natural hedge for the EPS into the forward years. So I wonder what you would do.
Yeah, look, I think that, again, we're not a product shop. We are a client shop. We provide services to clients. And we're seeing loan demand across the board. And, you know, we'll continue to try and do what we need to do for our clients. So I think in this year you're seeing loan demand across the board, both in the corporate space, the asset finance space, the specialist corporate areas, and in the private client space. So it's whatever products clients require. But, you know, there are mortgages, there are, you know, loans into the corporate market, or we do a lot of what we call fund finance. We finance private equity firms against the calls of capital that they have raised. So, you know, we've obviously quite big in arranging aircraft finance. There's a whole host of areas that project finance we've been in for, you know, decades. And there's reasonable demand across the spectrum.
Thank you. And the second one would be on the dividend policy. I was just wondering, when I look at sort of Core Tier 1 progression, a little bit of that, you've got a little bit of headwinds this year from the sale of some businesses. But as you look to sort of the years ahead, should we be thinking of progressive on EPS, or what is the sort of accumulation you can get on Core Tier 1 as we go through, and what level are you running at? Will you be still running at 10% as we go through?
Well, our target is to sustain above 10%. Against our leverage ratio of above 6. So, you know, I think our dividend policy is progressive. If the earnings grow, our dividends will grow. And obviously the question is how quick we write assets, and because that has to be a manageable number. You can't grow too fast. You've got to grow at a rate that you can create capital at. We are fortunate that we have some businesses that grow without using capital, which is our wealth and investment business and our asset management business. So they do support faster growth in the bank. If the bank was on a standalone basis, you know, we'd have to be much more cautious on dividends.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to South Africa. We've got questions there. Can't see them.
Stephen, can you hear me?
And?
Yeah, Stephen, I'm sure there will be some questions here. If people can just introduce themselves so Stephen knows who he's talking to. But I'm sure before we go to any of those questions, Ruby won't let us down. He's looking younger every year and would like to ask a question, Stephen.
Good morning to you, Mr. Kossoff. You're looking well.
Thank you, Ruby.
In speaking of impairments, Mr. Kossoff, you stated that to work through what remains will take 3 to 5 years, which suggests strongly that you already have an indication of how much in value still has to be written down. If that's the case, could you tell us what that value is?
Make forecasts here, Ruby. You know that. But As I said, I do believe that impairments next year on the legacy book will be a lot lower than they were this year. But there will still be impairments coming through as we work the stuff out.
What needs to be worked out? After all, you've been writing down now for 6 years, so you know which assets need to be impaired.
So it takes 10 years to get through a financial crisis. And now he's moved the 10 to 15, I think. So it takes a long time to clear stuff.
All right.
If we're going to be sensible, we can go and dump it, but it's not worth dumping it. We can work it out.
All right. Now, I'm somewhat hesitant to raise the next issue, but I'm a little bit puzzled about the use of the word principal in the very last paragraph of your outlook slide, the last slide. May I ask if you spelled principal correctly?
I don't know. I'll ask my chairman of my audit committee.
And finally, whilst you're in London, is there a chance of you getting some rugby tickets for me?
A bribe you, Ruby. At a price, you can get anything. We don't sponsor the Rugby World Cup.
Stephen, thanks. It's Sean Ashton from Anchor Capital. Just a bit more color, if you can, on the Hong Kong extent of losses. There was some of it in the first half. What you would regard as kind of once-off impairments that you took in your Hong Kong portfolio, and the effect of that on the specialist bank ROE, and then a bit of guidance as to whether there's anything further lurking from an impairment perspective in that portfolio that would be out of the ordinary, let's say.
Look, I think the Hong Kong portfolio has been marked to the latest share prices on the listed stuff. So that's where the heat was. I haven't got the exact number. You can ask Ursula offline for the exact number. But it would have had quite a big impact on these results. But you've got to remember that we're looking at a portfolio. So there are a couple of shares that went down. And there are other areas where, you know, the investments performed particularly well. So overall, looking at the portfolio, it was weakened. I think our investment income was down 20-odd percent on the previous year as a overall portfolio, but the heat was in the Hong Kong business. And I can't predict whether we'll do well or badly at this stage. It depends on life, on the rest. You know, markets can do anything. What else did you ask, Sean? Is that it?
Yeah, that was it. Thank you.
More questions, Andy?
I think that's it, Stephen.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for attending. And I know that in South Africa and London, there's something to eat afterwards, and you can stay as long as you wish. So welcome, thank you again, and we'll see you sometime in the next few months. Cheers.